stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Bruschetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Friday, March 9th.
Yay, hey, it's the weekend.
It is the weekend, and we're here.
We are.
Isn't it warm outside? Did you notice that? Like, it's going to be about 80-some degrees today.
Really?
And this is still supposed to be winter, you know.
I was cold.
Were you?
Yeah. So I didn't really notice.
Okay.
But okay. That'd be awesome if it was nice, because I'm just so tired of the cold weather.
Yeah.
Over it. All right.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been summer. I mean, you know, ever since, last month or something, you know, it's been like warm.
On and off.
But yeah, on and off, okay.
Yeah, I'll the other day it was freezing cold. Yeah. Like,
well,
so
it's still
cold.
Freezing at night, that's for sure, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. We get like 80 degrees in the morning and then 57, 55
yeah,
at night.
Know. It's weird.
Yeah, it really is.
Maybe it's our solar flare storm.
Is that what it is?
It might be.
You keep scaring me with that stuff.
I'm telling you, like the largest storm actually hit the other day. I think it was yesterday, believe it or not. And then it said that I'm looking at NASA.com right now, and it's like, there's a geomagnetic storm, and basically what happened was we're kind of lucky. As of March 8th, the storm was fairly mild because the magnetic field from the, I don't know what CMEs are, they're the mass ejections come out of the sun.
Uh-huh.
They were partially aligned with our own magnetosphere, so we're kind of going at the same speed. But now the geomagnetic storm has increased because the fields have changed direction. So like the solar flares are going in a different direction now. So now we have geomagnetic storm can actually come under the Earth and deposit more magnetic energy and radiation into our environment. So that's what NASA's. It's all over the place. And
right.
Apparently there was an aurora on yesterday over Iceland. There's a really cool picture,
wow,
actually.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it didn't do anything to the power grid.
A little bit. A couple of the satellites were knocked out temporarily.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So across
wow.
the U.S.
That's true. Satellites are in danger
yeah.
when this happens.
That's the major thing is a lot of satellite things will go berserk.
Yeah, communications.
So, yeah, and that's the problem because we rely so much on them.
Yeah.
And yes, a lot of our electricity is here on Earth above ground, and then it goes into, well, if it gets through the radiation and the magnetic energy actually comes through, like they're saying they're worried about, if it comes through so much, it will explode our electrical power grid everywhere, which is what I was telling you.
Right.
And if that were to happen, it would be out for about a year.
Yeah.
And if that happens, then that means there's no gas, there's no food, it's whatever you've got here.
Right.
There's going to be riots everywhere because inner city people who don't know how to act aren't going to freaking freak out. I mean, everyone's going to freak out, but
right.
if you don't have a gun, you're not safe.
Because, no, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what
gun.
I'm saying with the whole thing. And,
okay.
you know, and here it is that's what, and it's funny because that's what's happening
yeah.
right now. So
yeah, don't worry. It's not going to happen. You know, people have predicted the end of the world for centuries.
I'm not saying it's the end of the world. I'm just saying it's
be.
A world. No, it will
it
be a world
be for
world.
A civilization. I mean,
no, it would be a World War III, survival of the fittest. It would be. And Nostradamus did predict that, I have to say. So
okay.
They did. Do you not need read
no,
Nostradamus?
No, not at all. It doesn't really.
Nostradamus has predicted so many things for
like
for
what?
Ever.
Like what?
Oh my God, I'm going to bring the book in Monday.
Okay,
how about that?
Bring it,
because
bring
or you
it
can Google
book.
It. I mean, every
it's
war,
also...
every disaster, he's predicted it all.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's actually very fascinating. I'm really into the whole Nostradamus thing.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway, so right now too it's saying that the geomagnetic storm, they go from like a scale of G1 to G5, kind of like hurricanes or like, you know, whatever,
right.
earthquakes. This is a G3, so we're right in the middle. Right now.
Wow.
And they're only going to get worse, it says. So,
yeah, well, we'll see. If it's the end of the world, man, I'm definitely a machine gun or Something like that.
Some people in the inner city.
A pistol is not going to be enough.
No, it won't.
For what goes
because you're going to be fiending for food. It's going to be like, I mean, when you're starving and you've got nowhere to go, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to start eating other people, you know, eventually. Like, you're going to, people, that's what you do. You're so hungry. Yeah. You're just, you're going to start resulting.
Yeah, but, you know, you're not in the wild. I mean, we have animals. We have, you know.
Right. Do you know how to hunt? Because I do. But do you? No.
No, I don't know how to hunt.
Exactly. So what are you going to do? Think about that.
Well, after the supermarkets are empty, I'm going to have to go and find my own food, I guess.
And the supermarkets would be empty because you're going to have to break in because they're going to be closed because there's no electricity. They can't even get the door open.
They won't last more than a few hours.
No. Yeah. Not at all. And then people are going to start killing other people going to their homes to steal all their stuff. So you're going to have to deal with all of that.
Yeah.
And if you live near a big city, you're fucked.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm willing to bet you any amount that it's not going to happen. What do you
think? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
You're taking it too seriously. You're scaring the shit out of me.
But everything I said is happening so far. So, and like what I'm saying is 12, I don't mean to scare you, but it's like 12/21/12. I know it's like that's just a date, whatever. But the planets are lining up all in a row.
Right.
Like, that's what they are doing.
Right.
The last time that happened, the solar flares hit the Earth and all this stuff. But we didn't have electricity back then, so it didn't, you know, do much. But now what would happen is it would knock out our power grid, is what they're saying. And it's already kind of sort of happening up in, you know, the satellite areas.
Right.
And now they're saying that because of the magnetic force is actually the radiation and magnetic field is coming on, is coming here. Because now we're not really protected as much as we were before.
Right. But, you know, what I'm wondering is why isn't anybody making a big deal out of it if it is?
They are.
Who?
It's all over the news, but here's the problem.
But it's not.
But the government, you have to remember, all of the news is run by the government. Do you think the government
The news is run by the government?
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. They completely control what it's put out.
The government?
Okay, for example.
Our government?
Fox News is Republican, and all the other stations are liberal. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, many are, not all of them.
Pretty much.
Yeah,
but they're very much influenced, and if the government, they're not going to sit here and say, everyone freak out. Everyone's going to go in a complete panic
mode. No, but you have reporters. You have investigative reporters. You have, you know, you can't hide shit like that.
But they're only allowed to do so much.
No, they are.
Yes,
you have the freedom of press here. If anything happens.
Okay, they tell you that, but no, you don't. You don't. I
mean, but how do you know this
shit?
You
have to report.
You're making claims. You don't have any proof.
No, I used to work a little bit, and my mother used to work for a news station. But you are controlled by your bosses. Like, they send you out to report on certain things. You can't cover. You're covering what you're told to cover.
Right. Okay. But who says the bosses are like government agents?
It's whoever they say. It's the network. Everything is like control. Like, and not only that, like NASA's releasing, you know, the geomagnetic next storm, you know, strength and how that increases and all these things. They're releasing all this.
Right.
But they're not going to sit here and tell you, let me explain what the damage is really going to do. They're not going to sit here and tell you that because there's going to be a mass panic throughout the world. People are going to start blowing people up.
Okay, but you know, I mean, if reporters felt that this is something that's concrete and stuff, they would report on this.
They'd be all over it. Now, there are extremists out there that have been reporting about it, and I know, and I read some of it and looked at some of it.
Yeah, extremists, that's it.
Some of it's too ridiculous, but you know what? Some of them are actually right, and then they are saying you should be prepared. You should, if you don't know farming, go learn farming now. Okay. Go learn farming between now and the summer and learn how to produce your own because you're going to be fucked if all the stores are closed and you've got no food and you don't hunt and you don't know where to go and like you've already robbed everyone around you. What are you going to do?
That's true. But that's if it happens.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be prepared. I got my ammo and my gun and my parents have a ton of shitload of ammo. And a lot of people,
How will you get to your parents? You won't be able to get to your
parents. I've already decided that we're going to meet up somewhere. But I mean, like, beforehand. Yeah. But I mean, a lot of people are preparing for it. I know a lot of people on the East Coast especially, a lot of people that have the money to do so are, and if you don't, stock up on water. That's the big thing. Stock up on water. Stock up on, like, rice, things that last, that will fill you up for a while.
Right. So are you stocking up now?
Yeah.
Getting ready?
A little bit. But, I mean, you should be prepared anyway in case an earthquake or a hurricane. You know, like, people do that all the time on the East Coast. It's a hurricane. They stock up.
Right.
They've got it. They're just stocking up more. Just like here, the earthquakes, like, we can stock up what we want, but if our house goes down in a ditch, then we can't do anything about that. But you know what I mean? People do have their emergency kits and whatnot, and especially with the winds here, they've been knocking out the freaking electricity so much. Like our electricity was out the other night.
Really?
Because of the damn winds.
Wow.
Like it's like you blow on it and the damn thing. Like, and that's another thing I don't understand. Why the hell aren't our electrical grid, why isn't it underground? Because this would not affect us if our power grids were underground.
Right.
I don't understand that.
Well, I think the grid is too big to go underground.
Now it is. You know? But see, the newer cities, they're putting them underground. Mm. You don't see the telephone pole or like the big poles and the electrical things as much in the newer areas. And like, it's like the old areas like Hollywood and things like that. They don't, you can't. Like, right. It's already, what are you going to do? Plus, we have the earthquakes. Maybe that's probably why. But I mean, everywhere else, like you go across the other cities that are developing across the U.S. and it's all underground.
Right.
So it's like, why the fuck don't they start preparing for things? It's retarded anyway. Not only is it ugly, but it is putting radiation into the air. I guess if you're putting it in the ground, then you're defeating, never mind. I don't know. I just think it should be underground. And then you wouldn't have this whole problem in the first place.
Yeah.
But.
Well, yeah, obviously you can't be prepared for anything, and nobody's going to be prepared for, like, a total power grid failure because of solar, you know.
Here's my other question, though, because if it's going to blow up, like, if it can affect satellites, obviously, on the orbit, can it affect things that control nuclear power? Mm. Can it, I mean, won't they explode? Like, what?
Probably. I mean, everything works on electricity.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's food for thought.
Yeah,
Anyway, welcome. Anytime.
I'm just willing to bet you we will be celebrating Christmas like every other year and we'll be just fine.
Maybe so. Yeah. But I'm just saying that I think people out there should be.
Yeah, prepared. I appreciate your reason for concern. I mean, I can see what you're saying, but truly, I don't think there's a government conspiracy to hide the news from us. And even if they tried... Just wouldn't work.
Just the same thing how they don't tell you. And that's the thing, they don't release it to you. So it's like we have reporters, right. And they're going to report, but say they go to NASA and they're going to ask NASA questions. You think NASA's going to tell them?
No, but they'll do
book?
Investigative reporting. They'll go to people that...
Who work for NASA and work for the government that are not going to tell you anything that you want.
No, they're not supposed to, but they will tell you.
No, they won't.
Okay.
No, they won't. They won't. And that's the thing, like, why? When it's like... Yeah, it's just that's what I'm talking about. Like, same thing with the wars and the shit that goes on around. We hear what we're told. We don't really know what's going on in the White House and what's going on.
Okay,
through, you
well,
because like,
we can't be
they're
there.
They're not
but...
going to release it all. They can't, because there'd be widespread panic fucking everywhere.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though. It's not like they have to spread anything, you know? It's just
this people, is crazy. Look, yeah. This is the solar flare. I just wanted to show you that. There's
yeah, that's amazing.
NASA.
What a picture. I know they showed
incredible.
On CNN last night, and I just caught a glimpse of it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, yeah, here comes the end of the world. As we know it.
End of the world as we know it. I won't sing.
Yeah. I'll so we should have a guest calling in the next few minutes,
right? She should be calling in the next few minutes. We have Sherry Diller calling in. She's a known psychic comedian. She's on the East Coast. She'll be...
A psychic comedian.
Psychic and medium.
Oh, and medium.
Yeah.
I thought comedian.
Yeah, not a comedian. Not a comedian. But yeah, and she's been a teacher for over 20 years. She's got two books out, Discover Your Psychic Type and Love and Intuition. And I started reading them, and they're just, I can't put them down. They're really cool. Mm. And what she talks about is how, you know, everyone's intuitive. Everyone has gut feelings. You know, everyone can develop their own abilities. It's not just like gifts. Some are gifted where they just know right away, and others have to develop it. But have you ever been in a situation where you're like, I feel like I should not, like just for example, like me, like going on the courthouse the other day, I was like, I'm not driving my car. I cannot drive my car. If I drive my car, something's going to happen. And I mean, that's just a small example. And everyone's like, you're being paranoid, blah, 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 blah. And I always normally listen to myself because I know I'm always right.
Right.
But I was like, yeah, I'm being retarded.
Like you have a gut feeling.
Yeah. And I was like, it's going to be tow. I actually said it. And I said, you guys need to drive, my two friends. You need to drive because I'm not driving. I know my car will be towed away. They're like, why would you say that? I'm like, I don't know. I just know. And guess what? The fucking car got towed away.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, well, that's something small, and I've had some crazy and major, you know, psychic experiences. That's just something minor. But I'm saying for those out there that don't know, you know, have you ever had a gut feeling where you know something's going to happen, and it does?
Yeah.
So,
well, here she is. I think she's calling in right now.
Cool.
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. This is Sherry Dillard, and I'm calling in to...
Yes, Sherry. Yes, we've been expecting you. We were just talking about you.
Yeah, we were just talking about you, and I'm so happy to have you on the show. And I was explaining to everyone about your two books and just explaining to everyone, like, you know, I've had a lot of experiences and dreams of, you know, predicting things and whatnot, whether it be something minor of like, I shouldn't go here, something's going to happen, or something major where I see someone possibly maybe might die if they go on a trip or whatever. And I've saved people right. before. And I feel like I've been reading your books. I think they're awesome, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, obviously. She's been talking about it all morning.
I have.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's nice. Thank you. I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sherry, where are you calling us from? What part of the country are you
in? I'm in North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. How cool.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Right. So you're saying that you really use your intuition in kind of relationships and connections with others?
You know, it's funny because I'm really good at helping anyone else, but when it comes to myself, I can't.
Right.
I just screw it up. It's like
right.
I'm an idiot or something. And
yeah, well, you're not. I mean, that's kind of why I wrote the book, is because it's actually really, it's a whole different way of using your intuition when it comes to, you know, using mm-hmm. it in our own lives. And part of the reason why that is because of emotions, because, mm-hmm. you know, we're invested in it. We're invested in whether or not it's a relationship and somebody, you know, if we're attracted to somebody, then we want it to work, or we're in love with someone and we don't want to see things that we don't want to see about them. Mm-hmm. And so our intuition in relationships can be really, you know, confusing for that reason. And that's part of the reason I wrote the book, Love and Intuition, is to help people to work more with their own emotions and to understand mm-hmm. emotional energy. And then there's exercises in there that will help you to kind of be able to maybe detach a little bit at times or mm-hmm. to see beyond that, so you can kind of tune in more and more to really, because it is working in relationships for you. It's just your emotional, all of that other energy kind of, it's like static on a television, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Yeah.
It just kind of really fuzzes everything up.
Yeah.
But if you can use it for other people, trust me, you can use it for yourself, and you can do really, you can, it's actually going to be magnified once you learn how to use it for yourself, if mm-hmm. you're able to use it for others.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty good. So when did you first realize you had these abilities, these psychic abilities?
Well, I realized them when I was young. I'm the kind of, you know, the kind of psychic that's been psychic, so I don't know anything other than kind of being able to tune into, and not even tune into it, but just like, you know, receive it without even wanting to.
Right.
So it goes really way back, but I kind of went into it full time when a long time ago. I mean, I've been doing this. I always tell people I'm doing this for longer than I'd like to admit that I'm old. So,
yeah,
I've been, you know, in this realm for, in this field for a long time, probably over 20 years.
Right. Now, so how do you think people, is someone born like that, or is it something that you develop?
Well, I think it's both ways. I think that everybody has intuition. Everybody, you know, it's like everybody can sing, but doesn't mean that we're all very good at it, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same thing with intuition, is that we all have it, but some of us are just a little bit better innately for what reason we don't know, but some people are, like, some people just have great voices.
Right.
Some people just are much better at intuiting than others, but everybody has intuition. It's just so much a part of us that, you know, some people would call it common sense even, or, you know, just knowing, like a lot of, like part of what I talk about in the books is the different ways that intuition comes in mm-hmm. and psychic energy. And a lot of times what we think is that, you know, people that are psychic have certain kinds of experiences where they'll see ghosts, or they'll see, have visions, or they'll know lottery numbers.
That's
you know?
Me too.
Not
anymore.
Visions. What's that?
Yeah, visions. I have.
Oh, do you really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's clairvoyance. You actually see like images and all.
Yeah, it's weird because like I will, if I get a picture in my head of exactly who it was or who's around me,
right.
who's around me and what they look like, and sometimes uh-huh. what they want, but I kind of scare myself, so I kind of block it out sometimes. Because I've had
do you know who they are? I mean, is it someone you know when you do
sometimes,
that?
Sometimes not at all. Sometimes it just...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like my house now where I am, it's a lot of weird energy. I think there's like a...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm like staging all the time and trying to block it out. And it's... Yeah. It's interesting.
Well, keep in mind if it's a ghost or it's anything like that, then you have a lot more power in that than what you may know. And blocking it out might be one thing that it's, you know, it's important to do that. You don't want them intruding.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can do that just naturally, you should definitely try to develop it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you probably know, it's not going to go away. You
yeah,
know?
I know.
Yeah. So,
yeah, and so
how do you develop something like that?
Well, to go back to the books, one of the ways is just to simply, the first step I feel is just to find out the way your intuition is already naturally working. You know, sometimes, like I was saying, you know, people get visions like you're getting visions, and that's clairvoyance, and that's a certain kind of intuition or psychic experiences. But a lot of people intuit just through their thoughts, and we like to think that thinking is opposed to intuition, but it's really not. So, like scientists, people that are innovative in their thinking or, you know, with inventions or things like that, actually receive a lot of intuitive information through their thoughts, some people through their emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can kind of walk in a room and they know what the feeling is. Or
I do that
they
too.
They may think about a friend of theirs and know exactly how they're feeling.
Yep.
You know, that's highly empathetic. And then some people receive intuitive information in their body. They can kind of have a gut feeling about something, or they might feel someone else's aches and pains, or you know, massage therapists, people, doctors. A lot of times they're using their intuition. So I'd say the first thing to do is to find out in your everyday life, how did your intuition normally coming in that you take for granted or you don't notice? And once you do that, once you become aware of, oh, okay, this is working and it's working this avenue, you can start to, you know, use it with intent more and to elicit intuitive information. And that's what I'm kind of saying. We'll take you as an example. If you're already getting visions and you're able to do that, then one thing I would say to you would be, let's say that there's a certain man in your life or not in your life, but you'd want to know what he's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a really simple exercise. Let's say you wonder how he feels about you or what he's thinking. What I would suggest would be to kind of like just kind of think about what you think he might be thinking. Well, he's probably thinking this or this or this, or he feels this way. Maybe write down notes about, kind of get all your own thoughts out. And then just visualize him in an image. Just see him. Just kind of, you know, with as much clarity as possible, what he's wearing, the expression on his face. And then simply ask him. Simply invoke that from him. And you'll be surprised that little simple exercise like that, how much more information you'll get.
Interesting.
And how much, and it will be accurate. Yeah, it's not that hard. It's just we don't have a lot of tools for this.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you discuss personal love type. You discuss emotional,
right,
spiritual, mental, or physical. And
right.
Can you... What's that?
I took the test.
Oh, you did?
but I'm like a couple, like I'm really close in a couple of them. And like, and the one I'm emotional, and it says I'm emotional and physical is the most, but the rest came in like pretty close.
Mm. Well, that's actually good. The optimum is actually to be close.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to be out of balance too much on this because we want to be able, the optimum is to use all the different types at will.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're close, it's actually a good thing.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, it's actually good. Yeah, people think, well, we should be one or the other. No, and when it comes to intuition, you kind of want to be able to, like if somebody's highly emotional, intuitive, empathetic all the time.
That's me.
They're usually, yeah, but see, it can be a hard way to live.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, because you're always feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So you want to be able to say, okay, if I'm highly you know, just drawing in everybody's feeling, I'm really emotional, then you want to balance that with, we'll say, physical or mental,
mm-hmm,
where, you know, you're getting out of all of that taking in feelings, and you can kind of work on a whole different level. It'll actually be better for you than over-emoting or over, you know, taking in too much energy in that way.
Right. Now, so if you have a different love type than your partner or your spouse, what do you do then? I mean, is it compatible? What do you do about it?
Oh, no, I think it's very compatible.
Oh, okay.
Well, part of it is just understanding somebody else and knowing, you know, when you know that this not only plays out in intuition, but this plays out in, you know, just general ability to communicate with somebody where, you know, we'll just take the normal average kind of scenario, and that is a woman who is much more emotionally intuitive and a man who's much more mental intuitive. Although I have to tell you, it's funny. Since I wrote that book, I've had so many men write me who are more emotionally intuitive and women who are mental. But anyway, just for an example,
yeah. That's interesting.
We'll take the man who's the mental intuitive and the woman who's the emotional. And part of it is really being able to just understand, it. Like I said, it's not different than normal conversation. The only difference would be what a man often does with a woman intuitively is he offers information. He offers scenarios, or she might be talking, oh, I was at work and I felt this way and, you know, this is going on, and he might offer intuitive, mental intuitive information like, well, you know, he could see the big picture and say, well, I've got an idea that maybe you could do this or that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where she's wanting probably more emotional back.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give a lot more. Mental intuitives tend to be solution oriented, you know. They tend to want to help in that way, and that's one way they love. And
right.
That's one of the reasons why it's important to know, is because a mental intuitive is going to love somebody through intuiting through their thoughts, their mental energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's also important for them to understand, too, that a woman is going to be saying things like, oh, you seem like you feel down, or you seem like you feel stressed, or I just get this feeling that, you know, you had a hard day at work. And they're saying, no, I'm fine, no problem. And she's like, no, 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 I can just, I just feel there's something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, emotional intuitive in that way might actually emotionally intuit more of what the accurate feelings are than somebody who's not in touch with their feeling.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a detriment at all. It's actually just something to work with and to value more.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, I'm looking here on your bio, and it says that you've helped some police departments with murder cases and so forth.
Right.
Now, is this, so how do you help them? In what way? You help to figure out where a body is, or what is it exactly?
Yeah, I've done missing persons. Probably the one that I was, the biggest one in this area in North Carolina was a woman who had been murdered in Raleigh, who was a cold case. It hadn't been solved for close to 4 years, and the police called me, which was kind of funny, 4 years later. I think somebody had passed my name on to them.
Right.
And I worked with them for, I don't know, it was probably close to a month, and they ended up arresting the man who had done it, and
wow,
actually had DNA, so it was definitely him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I've done that. But yeah, I've done a fair amount of missing persons too. I volunteer for a couple of missing persons organizations.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I do a fair amount of that too.
Yeah.
That's really
well,
awesome.
Wonderful. And then it says you're an avid swimmer and you can be found wandering along the rivers and mountains of the area with your two dogs. I mean, that sounds like a great life to me.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yep. Awesome. I enjoy it. Yeah, you're definitely reading my bio.
Yeah, I am.
We're on the website.
I am, yeah. And
right.
So I always wanted to, I also wanted to bring up real quick your other book called Discover Your Psychic Type, Developing
right.
and Using Your Natural Intuition. And I think that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
As far
right.
as types.
Yeah,
and so
they
forth.
Both deal with that. The first one, like, it deals with it just through kind of really honing in on your intuition and developing it. And then the second one is about developing your intuition through your type, but more for use in relationships and with emotions.
I had a random question too. In the first book, Discover Your Psychic Type, I was reading like some of the questions and when I was doing like the tests or whatever, and it's actually funny because I'm like five, like a lot of things. But one of them was interesting. It was like talking about. I was like, that's interesting. How you can't lose weight.
Right.
Because I'm like dealing with that a lot right now, and it's really bothering me. I'm just curious, like, how does that fall into
it? Yeah, that's right. And you said you were a physical intuitive too.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Physical intuitive, and this is why it's so important to know how your intuition works.
Mm-hmm.
I think I used this story in the book about the way I became aware of physical intuitives was a lot of ways, but I think the example I used in the book was I was teaching a class, and we were going around with partners and doing intuition exercises, and we came to one woman who just wasn't getting visions. She wasn't getting anything. She felt embarrassed. She wasn't intuitive, and the more I talked to her, she described the only thing that she got was pain in her wrists, and this had to do with her partner. The only thing she felt she picked up was intense pain in both of her wrists. And what she didn't know was that her partner, the one that she was receiving that pain from, had actually been in a motorcycle accident about a year earlier, and it broke both of her wrists and had pins in her wrists.
Oh my gosh.
And they were constantly causing her pain. So what she was picking up on was this woman's physical body. Now, what does that have to do with weight? What it has to do with weight is that someone like yourself, who's a physical intuitive, your body is, without knowing it, without consciously being aware of it, you're picking up energy from your environment, from others.
Okay.
Now, what happens is that a couple things happen when you overdo this. One is you can get a lot of stress, anxiety. You can feel heavy. And what happens sometimes is the unconscious picks up energy, if you're taking on energy, it picks it up as heaviness in the body, weight, and it will translate into physical weight.
Wow.
I have a lot of women clients who take on a lot at work, who are busy, who are physical intuitives, and I noticed a pattern with them of having a hard time with weight issues, of not being able to lose weight, feeling heavy in the body. And I realized that they're actually picking up a lot of energy information, and it's being translated as to weight, physical weight for them.
That's so interesting. So how do you protect yourself from this? I mean, like, I'm into stones and crystal healing and such, and, you know, and I think I'm being protective, but obviously right now I'm not. How do you, I mean, I sage a lot. I have my little...
Well, it's funny, too, because physical intuitives tend to work more with stones and crystals.
Oh, that's interesting.
They
need
that physical... Yeah, they want the physical kind of part of it, right?
I don't leave without my stones.
Well, part of it, you know, part of it is becoming aware. And one of the things I would say to you would be to try to kind of tune in a little bit more. This is, again, a really easy exercise that you can do that... You can change this just really quickly. All you have to do is this. Is first of all, though, you have to get a sense of yourself as kind of like, if you can meditate, maybe sage, or do something that really clears you out so you feel really clear. You feel like this is me. This is just, I have vibrant energy going through me. This is my spirit, my energy.
Okay.
Get a feeling for that. And then go someplace when you're, let's say, in a crowd of people or in an office, someplace where there's a lot of people around, and check in with your body. Take a moment to say, okay, how do I feel now?
Okay.
You're going to be able really quickly to tell the difference between when you were in that place after meditation and feeling clear and how you are when you've been surrounded by people or you've picked something up.
Right.
And then what you can do, you can say to yourself, you know, if this energy is not mine, I'm releasing it.
Ah,
I'm letting it go.
Okay.
That's all you have to do. You just say, you know what, anything that's not mine, I can feel it on me, I'm letting it go. I'm releasing it.
Okay.
You know, if you're an emotional intuitive and a physical intuitive primarily, I would definitely tell you need to really Make sure you do things like that to clear your energy out, because you're probably absorbing a lot of stuff. You know that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Definitely can feel it. And it's interesting you say that, because when I clear a house, I can get rid of things in the house. I clear it, and I say the same thing, but I'm saying if there's any other energies that aren't supposed to be here for my greater good or my guardians, I need to leave, and they do. Like, my room is usually sacred, but I never thought about it for myself. So that's interesting.
Yeah, right. And you're your house. You know, you're your soul's house.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to kind of keep your own place sacred, keep your own spirit sacred in that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're probably someone people love, you know that?
Mm-hmm.
People probably feel really better around you and love being around you. And, you know, you give up such good positive energy.
Yeah.
And people like you, people aren't consciously doing this, but they're going to be attracted to you. And, you know, if you've got any kind of healing energy, which you definitely do, unconsciously, you're going to kind of be reaching out there to people. People are going to be willingly wanting you to. And so you see how that would set up an environment for you where you could really get a little bit overwhelmed, you know?
Right, yeah. Well, we'll definitely we'll definitely get Brigetta to practice a little more and everything, so...
Stop! I was listening to the rest of it, and you're like, what about me?
What do you mean, what about me? What do you mean, what about me? I didn't say what about me.
I know, but I was listening to the rest of it. I wanted to hear what she said. It's fine.
She did say that. I mean, she was... Okay, whatever. Anyway, Sherry Dillard, the book is Love and Intuition, A Psychic's Guide to Creating Lasting Love. Do you have a website where we can go and find out more?
Yeah, it's just simple, sherrydillard.com, sherrydillard.com.
Sounds good. Okay. Sherry, thank you so much. I know Brigetta was looking forward to it.
Thank you. It was great. I so much appreciate it.
Of course.
Yeah,
very fascinating.
Thank you so much.
All the best to you.
Take care.
Awesome. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Wow. Living near streams and rivers, man. Yeah, I think that would help you... you know, sharpen your senses and everything.
It was. I wanted to hear what else she wasn't done talking. So I wanted to hear her last thought.
Really?
Yeah. And you cut her off. That's why I was
I'm so sorry. I thought she was done.
No. And that's why I was like, wait, like.
Okay. Well, you should have told me to go and.
It's okay. I tried. So I was like, hold on. And I was like, Sam wants attention. He needs his.
No, not at all. Not at all. I just, you know, I mean.
No, I wasn't done. But it was really interesting because there are people out there that have the same similar things. And I thought it was very fascinating when she was talking about the, because it was like in here, it says if you can't lose weight, like all these things. And I was like, that's interesting. I've never had an issue with it. Like, I mean, I run all the time. I'm very physical, whatever.
Right.
And I appear to be in shape, but I am not myself. And I do weigh, it's weird. I may look the same, but I definitely weigh more. And it's really weird. And the scale doesn't change. And I'm freaking out. And it just sucks. And I read this last night, and I didn't. And then she just said it today, and that made more sense. And I wanted her to continue.
Do you want me to call her back and we'll continue?
No, I'll email her.
No, we'll have her on again. Okay. I'm sorry. It's a total failure of communication on my part.
Oh no, it's okay. I just really wanted to like.
No, because I know
really
you
helping.
Were fascinated.
Yeah.
I mean, you were, you know.
And it's not just me. Like, I know a lot of people out there of similar things, and if they have something similar to them, then, you know, because I think too, like, I know a lot of friends were listening today to her because they all like, they all like it too. So, but everyone's different, you know, like, I definitely am emotional, but like, take the test, I'll give it to you, I'll email it to you because it'll be interesting to see what you are.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you have a gut feeling, where is it coming from? Maybe it's your gut, maybe it's this, maybe it's, you know, visions. I get a lot of weird visions all the time. I've always dream of a place before I go there.
Really?
Every time. Yeah.
Wow.
It's weird. And I also it's just so weird. I have really weird visions and dreams. It could be during the day and I'll get a flash of what's going to happen. Like, don't go.
Yeah.
And I used to be way more in tune than I was now. Now I feel like I pick up on other people's energy so much, which is why I've stopped drinking. Cause I feel, you know what it is? And I thought, this is funny. I thought by not drinking, You know, and you would think this. Like, when you go and drink, it makes your emotions heighten.
Right.
So you get madder or you fly off the handle more. And I am very emotional, so I fly off the handle more. I stopped drinking, and honestly, I thought I would love people more. I kind of, like, they annoy me. People annoy me more. Yes. I am more annoyed.
Well, that's to be expected.
And more frustrated. And right. It's interesting because I'm like, oh, that's just, I don't know. I'm like, I could just start drinking again, and people wouldn't freaking annoy me. And I think what it is I read, I pick up so much on energies, I really do.
Yeah.
And like, that's a thing, like, we have some drama going on in our house right now, and stupid shit. And it's like, there was this gnarly, very bitchy note written on the sink the other morning, and it's like, I can't explain to you, I saw it yesterday, and I was so mad, I can't explain to you the energy that I had, I wanted to go punch a hole in the fucking wall.
Really?
And I actually wanted to go punch her in the face, but I decided, I'm not going to do that. I am how old right now? And I need to, like, literally let my emotions not do that.
Mellow out.
And chill the fuck out, and I'll come back later and write a response.
Right.
And I'll write a nasty one. I probably will. But I need to, like, let go of it. And then I realized I was feeding off her energy.
Yeah.
And I realized...
But it's good that you realized that.
Yeah.
And you stopped yourself.
And I was like, this isn't me thinking right now. This is her energy coming on to me. And I was like, this is retarded. And I calmed myself down. And then this morning I wrote a snide comment back. And I was like, this is like fucking childish that you can't talk to me. And then you have to write on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
It originally started because there were dirty dishes in the sink. And I wrote a comment about clean your fucking dishes. You know, because they've been there for over a week. And then,
really?
Yeah. It's disgusting. It's so disgusting.
It is disgusting.
And then she didn't do it. And then, you know, a couple days later, she wound up cleaning part of the dishes, not all of them, and left a stack. And like, it's the whole side of the sink. It's just really gross.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I've cleaned up dishes millions of times for everyone else. I got tired of doing it, so I wrote the note, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not your fucking mother. I'm not your maid. When it comes to dishes, I'm not doing it. But I was getting annoyed because I wanted a spoon, and there were no spoons left. Do you know how many spoons I have, Sam? Like 40 of them.
Really?
Yes.
And they're all dirty.
They're all gone.
Wow.
So that's why I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now? This is ridiculous. Yeah. I shouldn't have to clean your spoon so that I can have a spoon. No. Yeah. Why can't you eat something and clean
and
it? And
clean it right afterwards.
I don't understand that.
Right.
You wouldn't have this mess. We wouldn't have any issues. We wouldn't have problems. Just do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's common courtesy for four other people. There's four people in the house.
Yeah.
You know? And didn't do it. But so she cleaned part of it and didn't clean all the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
So... okay, maybe we had some guests over and maybe they were the guest dishes. Who knows?
Yeah.
But you know what? The fact that your hands were wet and soapy and you left three dishes left for someone else to do.
That's ridiculous.
Is fucking rude.
Yeah.
And then wrote a bitchy comment back. And so anyway, that was the whole thing. Anyway, I am very mad.
What's going on in the house.
But it's just like, I was so mad and so fuming. And then I realized, oh, I'm being her and I'm stooping to her level. Mm. And it's actually her energy that's making me that way. So I need to stop. I need
Good.
To just stop.
Good for
and
you.
So I did. Yeah. And I wrote a note back this morning that says, you're being rude, whatever. But yeah. And so anyway, it's just kind of like coming in tune with those things,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, that's why I wanted to hear the rest of it because I was going crazy. I'm going crazy recently, actually in the past year. But it's also a thing too is like, like, how many times has that happened to you where you feel like you've known something before it's going to happen? Or you just, or do you say, oh, it's just luck?
I don't know.
You usually say it's just luck, don't you?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'm in tune with that stuff, you know? I mean, you know, with people that I'm close to, it happens, but I think that's normal, you know, because, you know, you just know what they're going to say sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? But as far as psychic stuff, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't have any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how did the Harley thing go yesterday?
It went interesting. It went good.
So you went for a second interview, right?
Yeah, it was another callback. And it was a room full of people.
Okay.
There were like 15 people in the room.
Really?
And there was a panel. It was really weird. There was a whole panel. There was a photographer. And they all were sitting behind a desk with notes. Looking at you, and you have to do a photo shoot in front of them.
Really?
Which is fine. I do a ton of photo shoots, but I was like, this is weird. There's so many people here, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So we do like a mock little shoot with their leather. They're just a jacket you wear, and then you come over, and they're taking notes the whole time, and they interview you, like a couple questions here and there, and then that's it.
Yeah.
So, but it was just, oh God, I forgot.
Just to
it.
Have something to say, right? They probably don't have much to say to you.
A couple things.
Because they want to see the posing, right? I mean, the
A little bit,
part.
But I don't know why they want to know the personality a little bit. Maybe it's because they're working with you. It's a campaign.
Right.
So maybe that's, I mean, it's a big campaign. It's Harley Davidson campaign. It's
I see. Okay. So you're probably going to do some speaking too.
There's a commercial and there's print, but they're going to be working with you for a while. So right. I guess they want to know your personalities. They ask if you ride and, you know, and all that. And I was like, my license is expired, but I have one. I can get another one if you want. And then it was funny because they were like, I was like, I don't have a bike because it's broken in the shop and my other one doesn't start. And unless you want to fix it, it's not, it's just sitting there right now. And they're like, we supply the bikes. I'm like, no shit, you're Harley. But I'm also thinking in my brain, I would love to ride a Harley, but I am also like, oh, shit, what if I like do something stupid and I fuck up the bike?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like just the fact that we're, I don't know, it'd be awesome to be like, I'm going to ride a Harley, this $100,000 bike. Awesome. Because obviously it would be awesome to do, but, and more than likely nothing's going to happen, but just the fact that like chances, what if that were to happen? That would suck.
Yeah. That's a big motorcycle, those Harleys, man.
Yeah. Well, and they're all different sizes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it depends. Like she asked what the biggest size I'd ever ridden before. And, even then that was a while ago, but, whatever. I'm pretty decent on bikes. So
yeah.
I'm sure I'll be fine, but,
sounds good.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. They shoot in a couple of weeks and I do know, but I'm going to go to Florida while you're gone. So
Yeah. We're going to go on vacation in a couple weeks actually.
Yeah. Wait, so you're going, that's going to be fun for you to go back. And then,
maybe a little bit, you know, I mean, if I had the choice, I'd go to Hawaii or something,
okay. You know?
But I'm going to a wedding, you know, so
that'd be fun though.
Yeah. It's just the flights, you know, it's like 14 hours straight nonstop. It's like too much.
I know,
it's
I've done
too much,
that.
But I'm going to have to do it. I don't have a choice.
Are you getting a red eye? See, I always find when I go at night, and I don't, because I went to Australia, and of course that's like, you know, 15 hour flight or whatever too, and we had a red eye, which was awesome. So like I slept the whole time.
I know, it's easier when you can sleep and stuff.
Yeah.
No, I think this one leaves in the afternoon or something. But still, I mean,
dose.
I found
take some no-dose.
Yeah, so I
or something.
Yeah, so
or
the opposite. I meant
Ambien
or something.
That's what I meant. I'm tired this morning. Oh, I went to this place last night that is amazing. Called the Sayers Club. It's freaking phenomenal. It's a speakeasy. It's hidden. It's also it's a private club. It's celebrities mostly that go there, but it's really awesome. Mm-hmm. It's in Hollywood and it's through this little there's that hot dog place on Coenga, I forget what it's called, and you have to go through a door through there to get in, and it's one big huge room. It's really cool and dark inside, very 20s oriented.
Wow.
And band gets on, the same band plays the whole night, but different singers. And they usually have celebrity singers come on. Last week was like Rumor Willis got on stage and Jeremy Piven played the drums. And they had different like people come on. So every song, a different person will get and play the drums. They'll trade off.
Oh, okay.
So it's last night was just phenomenally incredible. I mean, it's the best of the best singers that are on. Some are very well known that sing popular songs like the Adele song or the Gotye song or very popular hard songs to sing, but they're already known, you know?
Right.
So it's like, and the performances are amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a small intimate room. It probably fits maybe 150 people, I guess.
Right.
There's a bar, bottle service.
So is it like a private club?
Private, yeah.
And how do you get in? You're a member or something?
No, we just know people. But I mean, it's celebrities.
I know,
you can get
just about
singer,
anywhere, huh?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But it was amazing, and I hadn't been there before. And my roommate had been there because he's a singer and he's friends with one of the musicians that sings there. And God, she's just phenomenal. I mean, her voice is like,
wow.
Yeah, awesome. It's just, anyway, so if anyone has a chance to get into the Sayers Club, it is an SBE club, so go.
Okay, what's an SBE club?
Oh, SBE owns every nightclub there is, and they have a monopoly.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
Every nightclub there is in LA, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, they're smart. They bought them all up, I think, here and Miami and a few in New York. So they're a huge company. I know, it's crazy. They own a lot of hotels too. So they just.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, that this club is only open Tuesday and Thursday night. It's not a club, it's a lounge.
Okay.
But it's only open Tuesday and Thursday nights. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you think, how can a place like this afford to stay open only two nights a week? And
right.
It only fits as many people. And yeah, okay, there's bottle service. But I don't understand. Then you're like, oh, well, it's owned by SBE, who owns every nightclub there is in Hollywood or in LA in general. Of course they can afford it.
Right.
So it's just.
Yeah.
The whole monopoly bothers me. Because it's like, if you want to try and open up another club, you're not going to be successful because they will outdo you.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But it is a really cool spot. So.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, well, I guess we are out of time.
Uh-oh.
The weekend's coming, and, you know, I can't believe it's the weekend already. It seems like mm-hmm. just yesterday I got back from Vegas, you know?
Yeah.
So, time just flies, man.
I know.
It really does.
I have a practice 5K in the morning.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
For my marathon next week, so we're doing our team photo and practicing tomorrow, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool, I'll be thinking of you huffing and puffing.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, Brigitta, thanks so much. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Weekend. Thanks, everybody. See you all on Monday.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigitta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigitta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.